Now we began this chapter a couple weeks ago. And the Lord has been invited into a dinner at one of the chief Pharisees' house. And of course, they was doing that and tried to catch him up in some kind of something that they can accuse him with in some fashion. And of course, I believe they planted a person there. This was on the Sabbath, and they planted a person there who was sick, who had a disease, knowing that Lord would heal him, so they could accuse him. But the Lord jumps ahead of them, and he knows their thoughts, and he says, ask them the particular question in verse 3, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And of course, he goes and he answers and goes through that. And then he goes and puts forth a parable to them, 7 through 11. And then what we're going to look at today is 12 through 14. I simply titled this The Unexpected Giving. Let's go ahead and read it. Luke, the 14th chapter, beginning at verse 12. Then said he also unto him that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brother, nor thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. So here he's addressed their question, their thoughts of their hearts. He's talked about that, and he sets forth a parable simply about being humble. And of course, they wasn't humble people, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes. They were people that was uplifted with pride within themselves, and they didn't want to humble themselves they didn't want to humble themselves to Jesus and be subject to him. And so we talked about that. And now he addresses the man that bade him, that had called this supper. And he talked about how he called that supper. And he says, when thou makest that supper, or when you're wanting to entertain people, call not thy friends. Now this, he's not saying he shouldn't do this. But the reason why that he did call his friends, his brethren, his kinsmen, and the rich neighbors, the reason that he did it was, why? Least they also bid thee again. Now, basically, the only reason that he bid them was in hopes that sometime later that they would bid him to come to their house for a supper also. So he's not saying that he shouldn't bid these kind of people, but the reason why that he bid these kind of people is what he's talking about. Least they also bid thee again, and recompense be made to thee. One feast for another feast, basically. This was the desire of the heart of the one that gave this party, so to speak. That was his desire. And to be looked upon and to be bragged on about how great their supper was. And, you know, you could get into maybe my supper's better than their supper. And it's just something. It's not any humility in it whatsoever. And the true reasoning, simply because they wanted to be looked at and be called again to another supper. But he gives them the proper way to call people to the supper. In verse 13, but when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. If you want to entertain others, entertain these type of people. Now, he's not saying that there's not poor amongst his kin, there's not poor amongst his friends or anything like that. Invite them, of course, etc., etc. Those that stand, bottom line, those that stand in need of a meal, if you're going to proclaim this great feast and supper, give it to those that need the meal. Bottom line, give it to those that need it. And verse 14, and thou shalt be blessed. Thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed as the resurrection of the just. When the Lord blessed him with the worldly goods and so forth, he needed to share those, bottom line. And he needed to share those with people that he's not expecting to get anything back from them. Right. There's nothing wrong, inviting friends and those things. But his heart was in the wrong way when he made the supper, bottom line. So and he said, hey, you need to do this. Now, as far as giving, it was the law of the Jews. As far as giving to the poor and so forth and taking care of them, that was something. You can turn to Deuteronomy, the 15th chapter, and beginning at verse 7, notice this, read, this was something they was to do. But again, it was supposed to be done in the proper heart. Notice the reading. Deuteronomy 15, beginning at verse 7. If there be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren with any of thy gates in thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shut thine hand from thy poor brother. But thou shalt open thy hand wide unto him, and shalt surely lend him sufficient for his need and that which he wanted. Now notice what it says there. But you shall open, first talks about not hardening your heart, having a right heart, and then opening your hand to that which is needed, which is they need, the things that they need. Now this is what we're talking about, and this is what the Lord is addressing here. The people that he was saying that needed to be at this feast was those people that had a need. And this is what their law also states, which has a need. Those that had a need in that which he wanted. Beware that there be no thought in thy wicked heart, saying, the seventh year is a year of release is at hand, and that I be evil against thy poor brother, and thou givest him not, for he crieth unto the Lord against thee, and it shall be sin unto thee. Now, what they would had was a seventh year release, and you in the seventh year you'd be released of all your debt.
Right.
Okay? So if it was almost the seventh year and the brother had a need, again, a need, you wouldn't deny him that need because in the year's almost gone, I'm going to have to release him of it. That's why he says, don't harden your heart against him like that. Why? It's a sin. Sin to do that. Verse 10, thou shalt surely give him, and thine heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him, because that thing, for that this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy works and in all that thou puttest thy hand into. For the poor shall never cease out of the land. Therefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thine hand wide unto thy brother, to the poor, and to the needy in thy land. And if thy brother, a Hebrew man or a Hebrew woman, be sold unto thee and serve thee 6 years, then in the seventh year thou shalt let him go free from thee. Now notice this, you shall let him go free, and when thou sendest him out from thee, thou shalt not let him go away empty. Thou shalt furnish him liberally out of thy flock, and out of thy floor, and out of thy winepress. Oh, that wherewith the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, thou shalt give unto him. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. Therefore, I command thee this thing today. So, and again, his emphasis in this law is the right heart, having the right heart in doing this, and supplying the need of thy brother, and remembering where the Lord has brought you from, and remembering that the Lord gave you what you have. The things that we have today are all gifts from God. He gives us the ability to work, and he gives us the knowledge and so forth. And these are all gifts from God that are given to us. And in turn, he wanted the Jewish nation, and he wants us today to share that. He wants us to share that, not just hoard it up to be uplifted in pride with and so forth, but we need to share that. So that brings us to the question, who do we give to? You ever thought, well, who do I give to? Well, the Bible, of course, gives us an answer to everything. Who do we give to? Now, I'm not just talking about material goods, but I'm also talking about spiritual goods. Not just material, but spiritual. The Lord has blessed us materially, and he's also blessed us spiritually. And he wants us to share both of those. He wants us to do that. In the book of Galatians, in the 6th chapter, in verse 10, who are we to give to today? He addressed this householder. He told him who he needed to. He had needed to get a right heart in proclaiming this feast and give it to the right people who needed it, had a need of it. And in Galatians, the 6th chapter, it says, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all. To all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. We are to do good unto all. Now, the Jews, they just wanted to do good unto, if they did good, was do good to their own countrymen. But here it simply tells us to good unto all men, all kinds, Gentile, Jew, Asian, whatever it may be. We are to do good unto all, and then especially to them that are of the household of faith, those that are brothers and sisters in the Lord. We need to take care of their needs. Their needs. We need to do that. In Hebrews, the 6th chapter and verse 10, it says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, and that you have what? Ministered to the saints and do minister. They had ministered and they are continuing to minister. And that is something, this is what we do today. We help our brothers and sisters in the community. We help our brothers and sisters in the Lord in their needs materially and spiritually. We need to do that. Who else do we help? Who else do we need to be concerned with and seeking that their needs be met? Well, 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter, 1 Corinthians 16 and 1, it's other churches of like faith. Other churches of like faith. We need to seek. If they have a need, we need to help them. If we are able and the Lord has blessed us, we need to help them also. In 1 Corinthians 16 and 1, it says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whosoever shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring you liberally into Jerusalem. Now, they was taking the church of Jerusalem, massive church, but was a poor church. And they was taking up donations, collection to help those in Jerusalem. Miles and miles away, but yet they were a church of like faith. They needed help. They were able, whatever the Lord had prospered them by, lay aside each week that which they could help the church of Jerusalem. So we help not only our brothers and sisters, not only our community, not only any nationality, but we help our fellow faith-like churches also. Now, the next one, what else? Boy, this is a tough one here. Luke, the 6th chapter, verse 35. Who else do we help? Who else do we just seek to help their needs in the time of their need? Luke 6:35 says, but love ye your enemies and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. And ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be you therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Yep. Man, now that's a hard one to bite off, is it not? It says, but love your enemies. And one of our natural reaction to when our enemies in need is tough luck, Jack. That's not the Lord. And again, that's where we got to look at our heart. We got to consider our heart. The Lord wants us to look at our heart. We need to do that with a true heart, a heart of the Lord. And this is tough. This is tough, isn't it? Do good. Lend. Hope of nothing, not for nothing that you'll get back from them. You know, people like to scratch people's backs. Why? Because they'll get something back maybe, and that's not the right heart. And the Lord has no respect unto that. He has no respect for that. And your reward shall be great. Your reward shall be great. Done in the proper manner, it will be great. Now, does the enemy understand that? Well, absolutely not. In Proverbs 25:21, it says, if thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. If he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. in doing this, they don't understand that. They can't understand why I've mistreated that person, talked bad about them, and now they're helping me. But that shows the Lord. That shows the Lord to them. That shows them light in darkness to them. And that might just lead them to the Lord. You never know. And the Lord shall take care of you. We need to give and forget about it. The Lord takes care of all that stuff. So we see who we are to give to, like faith, our community, anybody, basically anybody that has a need, that has a need. And if we are able, then we need to supply that need if we can. To our enemies, I forgot my tissue, excuse me, here it is. To our enemies, even to our enemies. Now, how are we to give? We've seen who we are to give to. If the Lord blesses us, we've seen who, but now how are we to? How are we to? Matthew, the 6th chapter and verse 1. Now, of course, as you looked at the Pharisees and them, they like to do their alms and givings out in the public. And why? Because they wanted people to look at them to say, hey, look at him. He's doing good. He's doing great. He's quite a man. He's quite a feller. They wanted to be exalted themselves. But the Lord talks about this here in Matthew 6 and 1. It says, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Think about that. You may think, well, I'm going to do good so they can look at me. Well, the Lord, again, has no respect to that. You're not going to get nothing out of that, nothing whatsoever. Well, you will get praise of men, but that's all. Verse 2, he says, therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. And that's all they'll have, is the glory of men. And that'll be it. And that will fade. That won't last. That reward will cease to be. But when thou doest thy alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. When we help the needs of others, we need to just do that discreetly. We can do that discreetly, not expecting any glory from men or from them, but do it discreetly. What else are we to do? We're going to have to move right along. Luke, the 6th chapter. We are to give, and we are to give secretly, discreetly, and not expecting anything. As he had said, as he told this man of the house there, you're just giving this party because you think you'll get a party in return. That's not the way we are to give. Luke 6:30 says, give to every man that ask of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as thou would that man should do to you, do you likewise to them. For if you love them that which love you, what thank have you? For sinners also loves them that love them. If you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners also do even the same. If you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Lend, hoping for nothing. You're giving and not expecting anything in return. Secretly, expecting nothing in return, and merciful. What was the latter part of the verse there? It says, for he is kind. Now this is the Lord, who is our example, the steps that we are to follow into, that our mind should be likened unto. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. So be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. We need to have mercy. Even though they don't deserve it, we was there too. We didn't deserve the mercy of God. We didn't deserve his grace, but yet he gave it. And we in turn are to do that also. So we're to give secretly, not expecting anything back, mercifully, and out of love. Simply out of love. 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter and verse 1. It says, "For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write unto you. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boasted to them of Macedonia and Arcadia, was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest any boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that as I said, you may be ready. Lest happily in Macedonia come and find me, and find you unprepared, should be ashamed in the same confidence boasting." Now notice what he says. "Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that you would go before unto them and make up beforehand your bounty. Wherefore you have noticed before that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not of covetousness. But this I say, he that which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he has purpose in his heart, let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth the cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both to minister bread for your food, and a multiplying your seed sown, increases the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything and to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. For the ministration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God, whilst by the experimental of this manifestation through glorified God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Jesus Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and to all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for this unspeakable gift." Unspeakable gift. So he talks about their giving. It is to be sown not sparingly. He talks, it's purposed in your heart, not grudgingly. Not, "Oh, I guess I got to give," but out of necessity, but God loves a cheerful giver. And that's what he wants us to be, a cheerful giver. It feels good to give and to do it in the proper way. It's like giving unto the Lord. We must move real quick here. It's like giving unto the Lord. So we've seen who, we've seen how, and it's like giving unto the Lord. Proverbs, the 19th chapter, and verse 17, "He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord." That word lendeth means union, united. "Though he that hath pity to the poor is united with the Lord," is united with him. "And that which he hath given will he pay him again." So, and in Matthew 25:34, it says, "Then shall the king say unto him that is on the right hand, Come, ye blessed of the Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, you gave me meat. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was a stranger, you took me in. Naked, you clothed me. I was sick, you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me." And then the righteous answered him, saying, "Lord, when saw we hungry, fed thee, you were thirsty, and gave you drink? And when shall we saw you as a stranger, and took you in, naked, and clothed thee? Or when did we see you sick or in prison, and came unto you?" And the king shall answer and say unto them, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me." Amen. So in helping others, you're becoming united with Christ, and it's just like giving to him. Right. Exactly like giving to him. What else does it do? Well, it shows your faith. It is a good show of your faith. In the book of James, in the second chapter and verse 14, it tells us, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them the things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. If a man say, Thou hast faith, and I have works, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works." So it shows your faith. It shows your faith and how it is. And guess what? We're to do it secretly with a right heart, prepared in a right way, not seeking things in return, being merciful in it, seeking those needs. And you know what? The Lord doesn't forget it. The Lord doesn't forget that. Well, I've done it in secret. Who knows? The Lord knows. And that's all that matters. That's all that matters. He, Proverbs 28:27, he that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse. He says in Matthew 6:4, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. So he addresses the person here who bids this party, and he tells him the proper way that he needs to bid his party. Not one out of seeking something from somebody else. Not one of glorifying yourself. And yeah, we did pay the electric bill. Not doing any of those things. But he needed to do it in a proper heart, in a proper way, in a proper mind.